Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host today, and boy, are we going to do something different. We do not have a leading lady today. We have a leading man today that I'm very excited to introduce, and our topic today is undercover leadership. Ooh, what does that mean? I think we're going to hear about leadership and working undercover with our leading man today, and I'm delighted to introduce all of our listeners to Bob Hamer. He is, believe this, ladies, a retired FBI agent and multiple book author, and we're going to talk about leadership the undercover way. So, Bob, can you please say hello to all of our listeners today and welcome?
Michelle, thanks for having me on. I appreciate that. I guess I've broken the glass ceiling, at least for this week.
We have some fabulous leading men on occasion, but this is, you know, an association for women and a radio show that we focus primarily on, you know, how women can advance more effectively in business. So I'm fascinated with your background. You know, I think I said before when we're doing our pre-show conversation, thank you so much for your service, because you're also a veteran. And, you know, at least here in San Diego, and I know throughout the nation, but specifically in San Diego, we're very focused on supporting our veterans and for all you've done. So thank you for that.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks.
Let's talk about undercover leadership, because I definitely want our listeners to know that you have an incredible background of doing undercover work as an FBI agent. And just to kick things off, I mean, if you can share with me, I mean, how long were you in the FBI and how does leadership tie into undercover work? I'm dying to know. And we'll have more questions for you.
Yeah, I spent 26 years in the FBI. I came in, I was on active duty in the Marine Corps for 4 years, then came into the FBI. And pretty quickly, upon entering the FBI, I gravitated toward undercover work. I mean, I loved it. It was a thrill. It was an adrenaline rush. It was pretty hard to capture in any other phase of FBI work. So once I had that first undercover assignment, that very first undercover meeting, I literally, my knees were shaking. I mean, but it wasn't from fear. It was from that adrenaline that was just piercing through my body. And I left the meeting. It was a relatively innocuous meeting. I'd met the bad guy. He kind of bought my act. He was willing to meet with me on multiple occasions. And when I left, I had this adrenaline headache, but I felt like similar to the heroin addicts that I've talked to that always tried, they needed more of the drug. And so I was always seeking that more adrenaline to capture that very first meeting because it was so exciting.
Wow.
And I think throughout my career then, my 26-year career, I spent many years undercover and would just do things, to try to enhance the adrenaline, to try to capture that very first fix that I had.
Wow. I know you shared with me that, I mean, you've posed as a drug dealer, contract killer. I mean, this list is crazy. Pedophile, weapons dealer, white-collar criminal. I mean, I guess what I'm trying to kind of understand, especially for our listeners as women, how does undercover work equal lessons on being a more effective leader? I mean, and I know you have a very specific, you know, kind of like advice on that, but what are some of those things? Because your background is insane, and I want to still talk about more of that, but where do the leadership lessons come in? Although we got the rush part down, right? The adrenaline rush, that I think as a leader, how do we get that? But where do the principles of leadership come from being in undercover work?
It's interesting. I won't reveal my age, but I'm 68.
Me either.
When I went to Marine Corps Officer Candidate School, they taught in terms of acronyms. So it's been 4+ decades since I went through Officer Candidate School back at Quantico, Virginia. But I can still tell you the 5-paragraph order, which was SMEAC, Situation, Mission, Execution, Administration, and Control. I can still tell you BAMSIS, Begin Planning, Arrange Reconnaissance, Make Reconnaissance, Complete Order, Issue Order, Supervise. So it was in terms of acronyms that I learned, and they've stuck with me. I realized in my FBI career, and particularly undercover work, that the leadership principles of LEAD, L-E-A-D, and it's LEAD, the L is listen and learn, the E is empower and equip, the A is always look for humor because burnout is not a badge of honor, and D is do the right thing. And by incorporating those four principles, even in an undercover capacity, it allowed me to be successful. And I think I can, you know, I can begin to explain a little bit about that just in terms of listening and learning. As an undercover agent, you have to find people that you are probably diametrically opposed to in terms of your beliefs, your faith, your idea of what you think is a good or bad person, because the best teachers I had when I was undercover were the bad guys or the informants that we had convicted, and they agreed to work off their beef. So I couldn't really hold myself out as, oh, well, I'm above you. I have a college degree. I had to look to these people, some of whom didn't even have a high school diploma. But they were able to teach me. They were able to give me the skills that I needed to successfully pose as whatever role I had taken on. And I think as leaders, be it male or female, whatever it is, we have to listen and learn. I mean, the janitor may have something that can help you, that can give you insights into what it takes for you to be a responsible leader. I will tell you one other, a very quick undercover story. I spent 6 months at the racetrack at Hollywood Park, Santa Anita, thoroughbred horse racing. And we were investigating.
Undercover? You're
undercover. We were investigating a horse racing fixing operation. And we eventually convicted 5 people, one of a complicated IRS fraud. We got a couple gamblers. We got a jockey who was fixing races. We got people that had hired me to kill their thoroughbred racehorse. But what I found fascinating about the racetrack was you had CEOs, you had multimillionaires that were seeking out the grooms, the hot walkers, the minimum wage employees, and they were seeking advice from them because they knew that they were the ones that had the inside information. And as leaders, you have to be willing to listen so that you can learn from everyone. Don't cross anybody off the list just because you think they're beneath you.
That is fascinating. But I want to go, what's E? E was empowered. That is awesome. I mean, I think we need to hear this more. And so I love, where did the LEAD acronym come from again? Was this from the Marine Corps as well?
No, I think it was just me sitting down and kind of realizing what I needed to be successful. And
I love it.
I don't know, maybe it was one of those sleepless nights where I put it together and instead of doing deal, you know, I happened to, instead of spelling it backwards or something, I was able to come up with LEAD.
I think it's pretty good, dude. I want to know more about E. Empower and what was E for LEAD? Empower and what?
Empower and equip. And from an undercover standpoint, you have to understand that when you're undercover, you do have a case agent. You are reporting to someone else. but you're out there alone. You're on the high wire without a net. So you really don't have anyone else to rely upon but yourself. So your leaders, the people that you're reporting to, they have to empower and they have to equip you. They have to give you the tools that you need to be successful. So we as leaders, we need to give those people that are working for us the tools so that they can empower, and we need and equip them. So whatever that is, in my case, the empowerment was the ability to go beyond what the scope of the undercover operation was, to take it in different directions. Equipment-wise, I needed specific equipment in order for me to do my job. Now, I didn't have micromanagers that were over me saying, okay, ask this question after he asked that question, and after he does this, you have to do that. I was autonomous, but I had leaders that gave me that they empowered me and they equipped me to do my job. And what you want to do...
Sure. Oh, sorry. I was just going to say how powerful that one is, because, you know, how many times do you see organizations that they just limit the capacity of what, you know, team members are empowered to do, right? I mean, you want them to be leaders, but yet you almost like handicap them. And I think that's extremely powerful as for women as well, right? I mean, just to be able to look at and say, if you don't equip your team to be able to empower them to do the job in the right way, what are we doing? So I'm sorry. I just think that's a really powerful piece of leading in a great way. So I'm sorry I interrupted you. Keep going.
No. But because you make an excellent point, because if all we want to do as leaders is build followers, then we're not going to succeed. What we want to do is we want to empower people so they can become leaders. And that's if we can grow leaders, then we become more successful. I think obviously you've seen it. I've seen it where people don't want to empower those beneath them, fearing that they're going to lose their job because this person's going to outshine them. But if we're doing our job correctly, if we're empowering those people that are working for us, then we're building leadership and we're building a stronger company, a stronger enterprise, a stronger undercover operation, because we are empowering those people to do their job.
Love it. I love that. I want to hear more about A as well. Always. What was it? Always look for humor.
Well, that was always look for humor.
Explain that one, because I like it.
I think there's a real tendency. We tend to think in terms of we work 24 hours, you know, we almost brag about being burned out. I mean, we don't want to get that far, but we brag about how much time we put into it. We don't make it fun. Burnout is not a badge of honor. I mean, it's if you've gotten burned out, then you've done something wrong. That's why I look at it. Look, I risk my life. I've been shot at. I've shot people. The only way I survived many of my undercover roles was through humor. I mean, I always looked to make it fun. I had some lawyers, some prosecutors that didn't appreciate it, but I used to play any jail theme music in my undercover operations. I would have bad guys in the car, and I've got Folsom Prison Blues playing on the radio. I've got Jailhouse Rock. I don't want to take up too much time because I know you want to talk about leadership, but I was the undercover agent in a case called Operation Smoking Dragon. I was undercover for 3 years. We were targeting an Asian criminal syndicate. It started out as counterfeit cigarettes. It evolved into a $60 million shoulder fire missile deal with the Chinese. We were going to build a methamphetamine lab in North Korea. I was dealing with representatives in North Korea. They were giving me counterfeit $100 bills. North Korea actually counterfeits our $100 bill. And we were able to prove that North Korea was behind this as a result of this case and other investigations and things that other agencies were doing. It's the reason we have the new $100 bill. because North Korea was counterfeiting our old $100 bill. In 96, we changed our $100 bill because North Korea was counterfeiting them back then. We thought that we had come up with a solution with this latest $100 bill, and it turned out they were counterfeiting that. By the end of this investigation, North Korea was going to give me $40 million a year to launder in the United States. But to back up,
wow,
this was, you know, obviously this is a sensitive case, a dangerous case, but every time the principal bad guy that set me up in the $60 million shoulder fire missile deal, every time he got into my undercover car, and there were seven separate times when he got into my undercover car, I had the radio cued to a song by Charlie Daniels, my favorite country singer.
Which one?
And the song
Which
was
one?
Called
I wanna
Uneasy
hear this.
Rider. The song was called Uneasy Rider. And there's a line in there, if you're familiar with the song, it's a long-haired hippie goes into a redneck bar and he gets confronted by the rednecks and he kicks green teeth in the shins. And the line, and this is the first line you hear on every tape, it goes, "Don't you know it? This man's a spy. He's an undercover agent for the FBI." And that is line you hear on every undercover tape. I was involved in a case, in an investigation targeting NAMBLA, the North American Man-Boy Love Association. It's a group of men who are sexually attracted to boys. One of the guys we convicted lived in Orange County. When he got into my car and I turned the ignition on, it was cued to another Charlie Daniels song called Simple Man. And the line was essentially, we should take these child molesters out to the swamp, put them on their knees and tie them to a stump, let the bugs and the alligators and the snakes do all the rest. So always trying to find a way to make this fun, to make it humorous, just because.
I got to ask you, did you go research these songs to find those that fit with what you were doing undercover wise? Because, I mean, there is humor there, and I got to say, it's like serious stuff. But, I mean, you spent time looking for the right song with the right verbiage in there? Is that what you did to kind of like humor lane or what?
I probably missed a lot of songs, but these are just songs that I listened to. I did have one song.
That's crazy.
I was purchasing 2 kilos of crystal meth, and as the guy handed it to me in my undercover car, I had playing in the background Harold Melville in the Blue Notes, "If You Don't Know Me By Now." I just thought that was
I enjoyed it.
That's how I got through the tough things. So I think it's important we as leaders, we need to appreciate that. Hey, it's yes, what we're doing is important, but don't forget to make it fun for those that are working for us, and make it fun for us. Because if it's not fun, maybe we should be looking for another line of work.
Yeah, good points. I mean, really good points. Because I think, you know, you're right. There's so many times we get so serious. And if I can say, just to tie in, because there's right now, you know, gosh, Bob, with all the media information about bad men doing shitty, stupid, excuse me, I did say shitty on the radio, but I said crappy things, you know, that we're learning about as it relates to harassment and, you know, women in the workplace. You just want to go, good Lord. Yet there are tons of fabulous men supporting women and great relationships, you know, in the workplace for individuals. So I agree. You know, I agree. It's like, let's take a pause and, you know, we don't have to be polarizing on many fronts, even politically and all of that. So well done. I know we've got the last word and we've got limited time, but what, again, do the right thing for the D. I love acronyms. I got to tell you, I almost wish I would have been in the military because, you know, acronyms have a meaning for everything. But D, do the right thing. What does that mean as it relates to leadership in your opinion? And these are fascinating.
As it comes down to leadership, it just character really does matter, and it's it's what you do when no one is looking, and that's what's important. From a business standpoint, you know, I've never been in the position of a CEO that has to decide, well, do I cheat on this contract in order to keep the business afloat, or do I cheat on my tax? I mean, I've never been in that position, but as an undercover agent, I had to do the right thing, because if I did the wrong thing, that whole case could be thrown out of court. Or if I did the wrong thing,
right,
somebody gets killed. It was pretty serious in a lot of the situations in which I was in. So doing the right thing meant keeping people safe, but it also meant the case was successfully prosecuted, because if you step over that line, then everything goes out the window, because the defense counsel are going to attack you. I think as a business person, whether you're male or female, you need to do the right thing, because eventually it's going to work out for you.
You know, I'd love your opinion on this, because, you know, we have such conversations and debate, Bob, in our association, you know, that women who go through leadership programs, you know, and I've interviewed over 500 men for my book, and not to make it an ego thing, but it was really fascinating the feedback that so many men gave me on behalf of women's leadership. And what we need to do as leaders is that leaders are leaders. It's not a woman or a man thing. And I'm curious what you think, because, you know, women tell me a little bit something different. And since you worked in the FBI, you know, is that what leadership is? It doesn't matter if you're a woman or a man. The principles are the same. What's your opinion on that?
No, I believe it is. Now, granted, it's a government job, so there is equal pay in the government. If you are a GS-10, you get the same pay whether you're a man or a woman. So we're kind of taking that out of the equation. But I work
right.
with some great women agents, females, that ascended into leadership roles and did an outstanding job. I worked with some women that weren't very good. I worked for some men that I would never go out on an assignment with, because I didn't trust them. So it always came down to the individual, not man or women, men or women. In this Operation Smoking Dragon, I had an outstanding female undercover agent who posed as my girlfriend. And that always kind of raised an eyebrow when I was around my wife and her friends and would mention my undercover girlfriend. But
I'll bet.
Yeah, I mean, we have agents within the bureau that street agents that are male and female that are doing equal jobs. We have in management positions. So I don't think, particularly now in the FBI, I think early on when women were first coming into the FBI, there may have been sort of higher expectations, and that you were required to do more as a female. But some of my favorite supervisors were female, so I can't speak to it's like in private industry.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great perspective. You know, it's funny because we have an organization we support called the Foundation for Women Warriors, and it's a fabulous nonprofit, you know, that supports female veterans with their transition, you know, out of service and into the, you know, the business community. What's interesting is so many of them have said to me that, you know, gosh, it's like in the military, we're taught to be direct, you know, these leadership principles. And yet when I come into, let's say the civilian world in business, it's like, you know, I gotta be a little bit more, I got to soften my words a little bit, or I can't be as direct as what I was taught to be in the military. And I just, gosh, man, something's going wrong there with what we're helping share and teach to women, because, you know, they're exhibiting these principles and yet there's still backlash. I mean, and I love what you're saying, and thank you, you know, for being so open and honest. And I don't want to spend a ton of time on my mantra for what women should do or not do, but, you know, as our listeners are out there, you know, boy, this is a conversation we just don't have an easy answer for. Bob, I want to come back to you on the fact that you've authored 6 books. I mean, incredible. What was the inspiration for you to start authoring books? I mean, what was your first book, if you can share with our listeners? And how does somebody do 6 books? That's crazy town. That's amazing.
Well, I had no desire to be a writer. I joke that I had enough defense counsel that said I was an excellent fiction writer, but they were referring to the affidavits that I filed against their clients. One of my final undercover assignments was infiltrating NAMBLA, the North American Man Boy Love Association, and I was so disgusted by that organization, by the boy lover agenda, that it was kind of
wow.
the book that I wanted to write, that I wanted to get that out to alert parents and society to what this was all about. So that was the first book that I wrote. Interestingly enough, I had an agent. We had 24 rejections because nobody wanted an entire book on pedophiles. A couple publishers came back and said, look, if you'll throw in more undercover stories, we will publish your book. I really wasn't interested in pounding my chest and saying, oh, hey, look at me. I'm really cool. I worked undercover. But I realized
that right.
if I was going to get this book out, I was going to have to throw in other cases. So my first book was called The Last Undercover. It chronicled the NAMBLA investigation, but then I intersperse it with 12 other cases in which I was undercover that kind of highlight maybe a principle that came up in the NAMBLA investigation. So in that, I talk about the race-fixing case. I talk about purchasing drugs. I talk about an extortion case. I mean, different cases in which I was the undercover agent throughout that book. As a result of that book, I had Oliver North, who wrote a blurb for the book, was starting a publishing imprint at another publisher. He contacted me and asked me if I had written any novels. So I wrote two novels for him. He hired me to, we co-wrote his last two books. Then I was just hired to help another guy write his book. So now I'm kind of,
You're like a writer.
I'm the ghostwriter. Yeah.
Ghostwriting is a whole specialty.
Maybe your ladies will appreciate this. The most, what I think is the greatest accomplishment is not that I've written six books and three novellas. The greatest accomplishment is I only type with two fingers. Now, just think about that. When you know, I've pounded out with two fingers, so I never have learned to type, and people just kind of
laugh. I'm going
to
give you a tip as an author today. If you haven't heard of Dragon Naturally Speaking, which I'm not paid to say this, but it's phenomenal because you actually just talk and it types, right? When you get it connected to your computer, it's fascinating. I've written two books myself, and I'm like, I can't live without it. So it's so funny. Two fingers, huh? Let's change that.
Yeah.
Oh, you do. Okay. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Hey, listen, I know we've only got a couple minutes left. I wanted to say, I know you're looking for, you know, speaking opportunities and things like that. If any of our listeners want to reach you, or I mean, intriguing stuff. I mean, what you're talking about is crazy and a world that most of us in business have no idea of, but I love the LEAD acronym. We're going to make sure we give you credit for that and use it in our association. But well, how would you like people to reach you, Bob? Do you want them to email you or
sure.
reach out on your website? Share.
Yeah, my website, it's bobhamer.net. So it's B-O-B-H-A-M-E-R .net. You can reach me at bob@bobhamer.net. If you go to the website, I have a contact page on there. But, yeah, there's some interesting video that is on there talking about. I was on the Oprah show. So
I saw that.
I've had
so
some
you've got Oprah.
Interesting
you've got
opportunities.
Oprah Bowl. Oh, bet. Oprah's queen, man. It's like she's like, you've been on Oprah, you're like all that is what I'm thinking. You know, we only have 1 minute left here, and I'm dying to know. It's like, you know, I always ask my guests, and thank you again for being our guest today, but what, you know, what's one thing you could leave us with, knowing that, you know, our audience here is women, and we're all wanting to, you know, make our mark, advance in business, be better at what we do. What would be one, and this is no pressure, by the way, what would be one thing you could leave us with that will inspire us and just want us to be better of who we are? Any thoughts? No pressure, though, right?
Oh, yeah. With only a minute to talk about this. You know, I do talk to I talk to parents groups about protecting their children. And I do think that the same principle applies even to you in leadership. The idea that act, affirm, communicate, and trust. When you're dealing with people that you're working for, affirm them. Let them know that they're important. Communicate with them. Make this communication open so they know they can talk to you about anything and they can come to you and listen, and then trust. Trust their judgment, trust your judgment. And I use the act when I'm talking to parents groups, but I think it very much applies to leaders as well.
It sure does. Listen, I always call men dude, but you are fascinating. Thank you so much for being our leading man today. It was a special show, and I wish you the best for speaking and doing what you do in ghostwriting. To all of our listeners, you know we're here every Friday at 2 p.m. and Mondays at 9 a.m. We will be back for another Women Lead Radio show, and one of the things that, you know, we always ask is, please, my challenge to you is, what are you doing to empower and support other women? Have a great weekend, and we'll see you on the next show.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.